The kingdom of God is like a motorist stuck in traffic on a four-lane highway. Traffic is not merely slow. It has been stalled for a good 5 minutes. So the motorist does what everybody else is doing. They reach for their phone and search social media for an explanation. What the motorist discovers is that state police have shut down all traffic in both directions because there are bears in the roadway. Minutes tick by. Collective anxiety on the road-turned parking lot rises. Eventually, details of the cause of the shutdown begin to appear on Twitter. On Route 2, here in Massachusetts, Worcester County, near the Templeton exit, there are indeed bears on the road. A mother black bear and two cubs. Some months ago, apparently, at the onset of winter, a pregnant bear claimed land for a den in which to hibernate and gestate. Recently, the mother bear, which according to reports probably weighed about 200 pounds, had given birth to two cubs, which were now, according to reports, about 8 pounds. Needless to say, the mother bear, having been cooped up in her den all winter, is hungry. And now she has two new mouths to feed. Also, needless to say, these bear cubs are antsy. Time to forage, time to explore, time to leave the den, which is located directly on the median strip of Route 2, a four-lane highway. The kingdom of God is like the motorist whose first thought upon discovering the cause of the standstill exclaims into the Twitter sphere, "What was this mother thinking?" Thinking all caps. How stupid could she be picking a median strip for a home? What kind of mother brings children into the world in such a dangerous location? Our motorists' condemnations of this mother are not unique. Trending second to tweets of "What was this mother thinking?" all caps, are rants about the state police taking forever, all caps, to deal with those bears. Who do the police think they're working for? Bears don't pay taxes that pay police salaries. The kingdom of God is like a motorist stuck in traffic on a four-lane highway. Really? Well, according to today's reading from the Gospel according to Luke, a day in the life of Jesus was a little more like this than you might think, and I just invite you to stay tuned. We'll get there. Our reading, our gospel began. At that very time, there were some present in the crowd who asked Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. There is currently no way to know much about such an incident. There was no social media in the first century. Still, scholars are always exploring texts and artifacts from the environs in which Jesus might have traveled. And there were first century Jewish and Roman authors who did chronicle noteworthy events, though very few survived the passage of centuries. What is decently documented is the ruthlessness of the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, in keeping Pax Romana in and around Jerusalem. There is also evidence of organized groups of Jewish resistance to the Roman occupation. Here, the question brought to Jesus seems to indicate that residents of Galilee had either directly or by some action otherwise incurred Pilate's wrath. It could simply and brutally have been the case that Pilate was having a hard time generally keeping the lid on resistance and opposition, and so certain Galileans were just in the way at the right time, handy as any to be slaughtered. Either way, Galileans were killed, and Pilate had their blood mixed into the blood of animals sacrificed on the altar in the Jewish temple. An act of unspeakable desecration. Like all rabbis of his day, Jesus fielded questions when such events occurred. Questions regarding personal or collective tragedy. Questions like, well, how could such a thing happen? What did these Galileans do to bring such calamity on themselves and our community? What did these Galileans do? What were these Galileans thinking? What poor choices had they made to reap such misfortune? Knowing this drill all too well, Jesus responds, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way that they were worse sinners than all other Galileans?" It didn't take a mind reader like Jesus to know what is in everybody's mind, and when Jesus says this, they're thinking, well, yeah, because bad things happen to bad people. Illness, violence, ruin in whatever form must be the result of bad choices. Jesus answers, You think? Sin? Well, think again. When you ask such questions, what you're really doing is looking for a way to distance yourself from those who suffer. Those Galileans, what were they thinking? To do whatever they did to incur such misfortune? Really? Jesus goes on to challenge the sin-misfortune equation and expands the scope. Those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, were they worse offenders than all others in Jerusalem? Think again. Or as we're used to hearing in Scripture, repent. Which means think again, be pensive, be thoughtful. Think again. Think again, especially when your frame of thinking is appealing to a higher authority, asking who sinned against God, as in what in God's eyes got broken. Especially before placing God in any equation, think again. Think again and repent. Jesus could have been thinking himself of the verses we heard from Isaiah 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the righteous, unrighteous, their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts, that is God's thoughts, are higher than yours, are not your ways. Your ways are not my ways. For as heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. My thoughts than your thoughts. Think again. The question, what are they thinking, is the wrong question. Better, what are you thinking? The kingdom of God is like a motorist stalled on the highway of judgment, but the exit to compassion is in sight. What was that mother thinking? What am I thinking? What has gone wrong in my world when mothers can't find safer places to raise their children? Whose idea was it to create dangerous barriers that bisect the habitats of residents who have been living on this land for centuries before I or my ancestors arrived? And what about those state police? Isn't it a blessing that our police, our servants of public safety, can have an inclusive view of the public? A view that includes bears? What am I thinking? Where in this picture do I fit in? What is my responsibility to bears, to all my neighbors? Maybe while I am stuck here in traffic on the highway of judgment with the exit of compassion only a few yards away, maybe it would be a good idea, a fruitful idea, for me to put my phone down and think again. Amen.